G'day everyone.
We're doing a joint show here. We've got Peter Slattery and James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio doing another joint program, being that I am over here in Australia right now. Or we should say Australia. We don't say ah.
Over here, so, sure.
Good day, mate, from Australia. Or Australia, we should say.
And today we've got Seth coming on the show, who's a lifelong experiencer, contactee, I guess mainly with the, would it be Pleiadians, Arcturians, and Orions and Sirians sort of groups?
Yeah, mainly I work with the Arcturians and the Pleiadians and these golden lion beings. Yeah. And then also the Orion Council of Light, other Sirians, and I have had experiences with the Andromedans.
Did that start? Now we didn't cover this yet, but you had a near-death experience. Was that the key that opened the door for these experiences, or was there something else happening even before that?
Well, ever since I was a kid, I would see ships and have experiences that I, you know, aren't normal. So that's been going on my whole life. But I had this near-death experience, and that definitely helped open my third eye for sure.
Yeah. Did you have a couple of white light experiences? I call them white light experiences after that. I had the NDE, and then I had a couple of them where they just took me out of body. One time they showed me the earth was a little pinhead, you know, and they said, there's your problem, this is who you are. And all my problems disappeared when I came back to earth. It was kind of interesting. But a lot of other experiences where I was out of body and going up before these huge golden light beings and other things, or councils. I was sitting before councils and things. I was wondering if you had similar experiences.
Yeah, I had an out-of-body experience, actually. This was probably a year and a half ago. I had a surgery, and my dog had a surgery, and like my life was turning upside down, so it was a very traumatic point in time. And I sat down and was just like deep in thought, and I literally, my consciousness went out my crown, and I was in higher dimensionals where it's all fractal and sacred geometric. And, you know, so I realized you can access these states through meditation or through trauma or fasting, you know, there's, or near-death experience.
That's what I talked about a lot, was the geometric realms that you get to, yeah.
Yeah, we had an experience at the ranch once. I'll never forget it. I was looking over. It's actually where we drilled the well, exactly where we drilled the well. And this big column of light came down with all these geometric patterns in it. And I asked them later what that was about. And they said that we're actually programming the land for things later, you know, things to come later. And, that, and that's exactly where the well is. I think there's going to be some kind of a healing part, you know, with water, you know, some like Japanese type baths with super oxygenated water and some other programs we're planning. But it's kind of interesting watching that, you know, you have no idea what is being programmed in the land, but it all comes out later, kind of manifests at a later date.
That's sort of how the experiences take place too, isn't it? It's almost like there's all these download, you've got some information that's coming through on a conscious level, but then on another level, there's all these activations and information downloads. And when you've had those experiences, Seth, in the geometric realms, for example, is that what it's sort of been like? Is that there's a lot going on? You sort of know everything, but at the same time, you're sort of reconnecting with it. But there's activations and memories and all these different things going on. You know that there's downloads for later on as well?
Yeah, definitely. I would describe it like a remembrance and definitely downloads and reprogramming. Like I had this one experience where these geometric beings, they looked like spheres, but they were also geometric at the same time and kind of like shining and changing form. They were going through my DNA backwards in a spiral, like taking it apart. And it was a long process. And then they built me back up, but like solid this time. And it was it definitely helped. It helped me, yeah. So there's definitely downloads and activations going on. And like, I'll get information sometimes that doesn't really make sense at the moment. And as time progresses, I see it manifest in the world. And I'm like, oh, that's what they meant. So I see there's a bigger plan happening here, you know?
They seem to reorganize our body as well. I noticed that in order to handle the frequencies of contact and these energies, they're constantly working with us, trying to upgrade our body or raise our frequencies so we can have these contacts and have more access to the information that's coming in.
Just how it works, I guess. Because it's multi-dimensional level that it's working on, that it's going to work on the physical as well as the astral plane with all that as well.
Yeah. I'd love to hear some of your experiences, like some of the different beings you've contacted, maybe kind of what their messages were or anything along that line.
Okay, so it was probably, I think it was about 3 years ago now. I've been following your work for a while, James, and you played a large part in my awakening. I was resonating with all this information before I was having like communication with higher dimensional beings. Well, anyway, I was subscribed to your newsletter and you sent this message saying, why are you guys on your phones and computers? Go outside and spend some time under the stars. And I couldn't sleep. I was just laying in bed. Yeah. And I was like, you know, that's a good idea. So I went outside in the backyard and was just talking to the creator for a while and asking for a sign. And these shooting stars, or what I thought were shooting stars, kept coming by every time I'd ask. And I was like, okay, this is just shooting stars, but, you know, I would ask for it to get a response. And I was out there for like 45 minutes, and I just thought the thought. I didn't even voice it out loud. Like, okay, it's getting cold. I'm going to go inside. And this Pleiadian ship, like, phased in front of me, and there was three beings on board. Two females and one male, and this one woman was just, I had a connection with these beings like from beyond this lifetime. It was like a soul reuniting like with my greater family, and it was so much love and so intense. I was like crying from joy. It was just amazing. And it was an amazing experience. And then after that, it was just nonstop meeting all types of different beings. And then I realized I had this very deep connection to Arcturus, and I've met Arcturian beings and then golden lion beings, and they actually have golden ships. Mm-hmm. And then later as it progressed, I met the Orion Council of Light and other Sirian ships with like a baby blue color energy. And then Andromedans, and I've only met them a couple times, and the ships that I've seen from them is like a aquamarine type of color.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, those are the main groups that I work with. And then I've had some experiences where dark stuff has appeared, and I've seen a reptilian gray hybrid before.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
And you know, it wouldn't let me look at it, and like I made myself look at it, and I saw these large black eyes, and as soon as I made eye contact with it, it tried to take my thought process over, tried to take me over, and I could hear what it was doing. It was sending self-destructive thoughts to me, and I realized it had been there like working behind the scenes for a while.
Yeah.
You know, putting subliminal, like very, to where people don't even know this is happening. And I'm just glad I saw this because it came to the surface. Mm-hmm. And it thought it could overpower me because I was at a very vulnerable stage in my life when it actually appeared. But I made it leave, and it must have underestimated who I was. And so, yeah, the dark exists as well. But it's nothing to be afraid of because you raise your frequency. Kind of transcend above that.
You know, one thing, I'm glad we're covering this because, you know, that's one of the first things we teach is how to heal unseen negative influences. And I always tell people, you know, even before meditating or doing any spiritual practices, that's the foundation, you know, we need to learn first. But I see so many other groups out there they're out there spewing out this information that there are no negative ETs, there are no negative entities. And what you're seeing is your own projections or your own negativity being projected outward. And, you know, they have all these new age programs, you know, that I hear out there, you know, and it's, and to me, it's totally irresponsible,
misleading.
You know, yeah, and misleading to have people open up wide and go to these events and go there, you know, basically wide open, unarmed, and allow anything to come through. And I see these people being manipulated by these grays and reptilians and archons, and they don't even know it. It's like, that's part of the awakening process, I think, is to realize that there are these influences, and sometimes realize that they've been trying to steer us in the wrong direction for some time. And then the next step is okay, how do you deal with it, you know? But very few people get past the first step, you know, they're still in that denial, la-la land of everything is good, everything is love, and as long as I, you know, do my yoga and eat my goji berries, everything's going to be fine, you know? There's just a lot more to the story than that.
Right, I agree. And when this first started, it was obvious what was the light and what was the dark. One time I was in the backyard and I was doing a sky watch. I was seeing these ships and having amazing experiences. And then I felt the energy drop at one point, and like this, it was darker than a shadow. This form appeared in front of me. I saw it with my own eyes. And you know, my dogs were inside. I was all alone in the backyard. And I was like, this is actually happening right now. And it was dark and nasty, and it had a human form, but it would be changing form at the same time. And I just, I stood in my power and said, no, I'm a sovereign being. I am the light. You know, I called on the Arcturians and the lion beings, and I felt this energy all around me. And I was just, I just knew that I was untouchable. You know, the light is impenetrable, and that's just the way it is. That's how the universe works. And I had no fear, and it left. I made it leave, and I realized, oh, this thing wants to put me in a fear state because that's going to lower my frequency and allow it to have an entrance in, or, you know, to manipulate somebody through fear. And so that was kind of in the early stages of this awakening. And then what I was talking about earlier, that reptilian gray hybrid showed up, tried to take me over, and I made it leave. And then they came back disguised as the light, like false light, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'll see ships, and, you know, for a while it was all good. Like, I had protection. Like, I've always had this protection, so I know there's certain lines that they can't cross, you know? But what I'm saying is, if you're asking a bunch of questions and you leave an opportunity for the dark to try to come in and mislead you, they're going to take that opportunity. So sometimes I'll have all these light ships, amazing stuff happen, and then a ship will show up and try to disguise itself as the good ones. And for a while, this kind of threw me off because I was like, whoa, I don't know who's who. This is getting crazy. But I've developed this inner sensitivity where I can feel their frequency, and I know who's who, and I know what they're doing. And if you don't feel anything, then they're just masking their frequency and tell it to leave. Like, if you don't feel that unconditional love and high frequency coming from it, then it's no good. I don't want to connect with it.
Yeah, I wanted to go a little more in depth in that, because what I've been seeing over and over, I've had some experience just recently in Mexico. I had a ship come in, and we had a place up looking down on the beach, and this beautiful ship came in, light ship. And I was really tired. I was half asleep. And I look at him and go, oh, a ship. Man, that's nice. And then I fell asleep. I woke up in the morning just twisted and beat up, you know, just unbelievable scratch marks and everything. I go, what the hell hit me, you know? And it was the beings on that ship, and they're reptilian beings, you know, that kind of beat me up a bit. You know, I did get on top of it and get out of there, but the, you know, I see over and over the people that are professing that there are no grays, there's no negative ETs, there's no archon reptilians, are the very ones that are serving those beings. They're actually working with those beings, and they bring all these other people into their flock, and they're way up in the food chain in ufology. They're way up there at the top, and they get the podium all the time, but they're the ones that basically, for some reason, align themselves with these other entities. Either it's an extreme need for notoriety or fame or money or something like that. There's something, a glitch in their system that allowed them to be taken over by these beings. And I'm coming across this over and over again, and then AI plays a role in this too, you know, the artificial intelligence. So I'm just, as the more we go into this field, I think it's so important to talk about this, because there's so many people being misled by these people, and they're waiting for them to tell them what, you know, what the next big event is going to be, what the next, you know, they have all these stories, and usually these stories are attached to feel-good messages, or don't worry, we're going to take care of everything, you know, we're going to provide everything for you financially, we're going to do this, we're going to do, you know, it's all these future promises, and that's how you trap somebody with, you know, with future promises, because you keep them into the future, or we don't have to deal with what's happening now, because in the future, they're all going to come and take care of everything, you know. And you know, there is, things are going to be taken care of, but it's a joint effort. We all have to play our part and take responsibility. But I'm curious as if you've run into the same situation.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've kind of seen how these beings work and what their agenda is. And it's exactly that. It's taking people out of the present moment, putting them either in the future or in the past of like feelings of guilt and downward spiral type vibrations. And it's disempowering, you know, to release your responsibility. Like, the higher beings want to get you to take self-responsibility and be in the present moment and realize your true divinity. And the dark side is doing the opposite, basically.
Yeah, obviously, they are throwing you in the past. They're bringing up all your old wounds and traumas and things and slamming them in your face and trying to lower your frequency. And at the same time, they're putting you in the future, you know, with all these future promises. And it's amazing, because they do take you out of the moment, out of the present moment.
What about how many people have walked up to me, James, or even Sol, and they've said stuff like, how can you tell the difference between what the being's agendas are? And it's like, well, it comes down not only your feeling, but what's the message and what's the fruit from the message? Is it about you connecting with your own God self and evolving that way and having no middleman and recognizing that all these beings are friends and family? Or is it about going, finding a guru, or, you know, looking outside yourself rather than going within? How many times people come up and it's like, and that's the same message we've got for them, is that it's about going within, not going outside. What do you say, external? These programs are external, where it's about going within, internal.
Yeah, it's an internal process, and the other ones are all external, and they're to keep you looking outside of yourself, you know, and they trap you with, you know, trap you in the lower chakras, basically, which are survival, sex, and power. They keep you in those lower chakras. Or we're going to take care of you, you know, we're going to do everything, don't worry. I'm getting so fed up with this, because I see these, and you know, there's some things going on too, and I don't want to do any bashing or whatever, but whenever I hear the name Saint Germain or Ashtar, I just cringe, because there's usually some money-making scheme or somebody really cashing in on people's naivety, you know. And I'm not saying these guys don't exist, but it seems like those are two key elements that I hear over and over again, you know, and it's usually trying to sell something or sell a program or whatever, and then again externalize the situation, like, you know, they're going to come, they're going to, you know, the earth is going to, you know, we have our giant ships, we're going to evacuate everybody, you know. You know, just max them out your credit cards. You're never going to have to pay for this. Don't worry about it. We're all going to, you know, hold hands, sing Kumbaya on Ascend, you know, in 2012. I mean, one guy wrote, I won't mention his name, wrote a whole book about 2012 and how we're all going to ascend and all these other things. And then I just, one of his last lectures, he spent, you know, the whole lecture talking about how none of his prophecies came true. And then he gets a standing ovation after that, and I'm just going, like, oh my God, what is wrong with people? You know, it's just name recognition. You know, no matter what the guy does, and he does a little, you know, wears his suits and does a little dance on the stage and everything, and God, one of his things, I have to get into this because it's so ridiculous. At the end of his talk, he goes, "Okay, I told you I was going to bring the energy in, so." So I'm gonna do this thing or something. I'm gonna bring the energy in, and all he does is his ohm. You know, he goes like this, and then after he's done, he goes, "Okay, did you feel it?" He goes, "The eagle has landed," you know, and I go, "Oh, the ego has landed," you know. There is nothing there, but I just go, "My God, why can't people see through this? I mean, what is wrong with mainstream society or even society in general? I mean, where is the discernment? Where is the inner sensitivity? You know, it's that people are so programmed for external. You know, they're waiting for a savior, they're waiting for some external being or something to make them happy or tell them what to do. And boy, I don't know what it's gonna take to break that program, but these guys keep falling. They don't make good on any of their promises. They look really bad if you have any discernment whatsoever. But they're still there. It just blows me away. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, the world we're living in is ridiculous. You know, governments and just the mainstream, the way it's set up. It's just like, is this for real? People are really buying into all this, you know, on every level. But it is what it is, you know, and like, how to see through all this is raising your frequency. Like, this was probably over a year ago. I was outside and this Arcturian ship came by really low and powered up and like kind of stopped above me. And I was all, what should I do? You know, like, what's next? So I was kind of feeling like plateaued, and they're all, you're our hands and feet. Just keep raising your frequency. And I'm like, just keep raising my frequency? That's it?
Yeah.
And it didn't really make sense at the time. But as time has progressed and I've raised my frequency, that inner sensitivity develops and your third eye opens more and you just see things for what they are. And it's about seeing the oneness in everything too, because like I see that everyone... it's not only a different aspect of me, it is me. You know, it's all one.
It's all one consciousness,
Right. And so these are just different aspects of ourself that need to be healed. And it's like, so are you going to let this stuff lower your frequency? Or are you just going to say, okay, this is, I see this, I acknowledge it, but I'm going to continue raising my frequency no matter what and just shine light no matter what. And so... a lot of people like to say that how should I word this? I've realized that the dark side, it wants you to fight. It wants to keep you stuck in this fighting cycle, this fourth dimensional cycle, you know, because that actually feeds it. And that will, when you know, if you're fighting, your emotions are unbalanced. And when your emotions are unbalanced, you're leaving your field open, and these beings are actually feeding off your energy. So part of raising your frequency is balancing your emotions. And it took me a long time to do this. You know, they were telling me about balancing my emotions for years, and I'm like, yeah, okay, it's a lot. it's a lot easier said than done. But now I see things for what they are. I've developed this loving detachment, and I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to let stuff affect me, but I'm not going to ignore what's going on this planet at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, it's a mess.
It's important what you're saying too, because a lot of that is distraction, and it's playing their game when you're feeding into that fight scenario, you know, fighting them. Because as you said, that's the vibration that they're at, but that's, you know, how they feed off that when you leave the gap open for them to feed on. So it's an important point, I think, that you're bringing up there, that's playing their game. And to evolve, we've got to think outside the box, and not playing their game is outside their box, because we've been trapped in the box. That's how they've existed and evolved that way, in that state, through us playing their game, whether we realize it or not. But you brought up something important too about what's going on in this realm as well with government. there seems to be a lot going on in America at the moment. You've been looking at a lot of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Is it Oregon and stuff like that?
Yeah, the Oregon standoff and all these other things happening. And I just got a really good video where they interviewed one of these guys talking about their goals and why they're doing it and everything else. And it was very clear, very concise, you know. And they're just saying, look, you know, we are reinstating the Constitution and we're going to hold government responsible for the breaches of that. The guy was very articulate and he talked about all the some of the things that have happened, and they said that all the farmers here are just fed up with it, you know. And I understand that too, being a farmer myself. I have the ranch and have a herd of yaks and other things going on there. And I've seen this Agenda 21 thing being played out, you know, where they're trying to just do land grabs and take everything and get everybody back into the cities and little cubicles and a nice controlled worker zombie robot program, you know. But it's interesting. But I'm just seeing this is a step, you know. These guys are acknowledging the situation. They're dealing with the situation. And I think they're doing it in a very professional way right now. So far, I hope it doesn't go off into the emotional realm and people go off half-cocked and get a little crazy, you know. Because as you were saying, loving detachment, you know, I asked the masters how they look upon us with all of our screw-ups and what we're doing down here. And they said, with loving amusement, you know. So, and I try to take that stance in this too, but there's times I just go, oh, God, you know, when are we going to get this, you know, that form of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I think we're finally breaking that loop. You know, I'm seeing people finally breaking through and some leaders stepping up that are seeing things clearly and shining a huge light on the situation. And so when you do that, the darkness has to retreat, you know, it has to go back. And that seems to be what's finally happening.
Yeah, it feels like this is all coming to a head here this next couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of change is coming, and it's about time, you know? And, like, the old will crumble before the new comes, so, you know, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just part of the changeover process.
We're just seeing a big up-changing earthquakes and stuff lately, too. You'll say this morning, there's been a heap of earthquakes, so the earth changes are starting to roll forward, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And now the solar flares, I think we've even had a few big ones in the last week again as well.
Yeah, the sun's reacting. You know, we're going to, you know, for those who haven't heard, you know, we're going through a highly energized place in space that we've never been before, and that's affecting the sun, and the core of the galaxy here is going off like crazy. I mean, it's huge gamma ray bursts are coming off of it. And so that's affecting this solar system as well. And the sun's reacting to that. And the sun's throwing off huge solar flares and big coronal mass ejections and things. And that affects the bioelectric fields around the body, creates DNA changes. It throws us into basically the ascension process. And some are going to go kicking and screaming, and some are going to just let go and go with the flow. And the old system, you know, what they keep telling me, and I don't know if I'd like to hear you talk about this, they've been telling me that tyranny's done, you know, here. It's a frequency. We've been governed by this draconian grid, you might say, or archon grid, and that whole grid is being torn down. And those who are holding the frequency of tyranny are just basically going to implode along with their empires. I don't know if you're hearing the same messages.
That's pretty much exactly what I'm getting. They're saying that, because I was asking, like, when is this stuff going to change? What is going on? And they're like, well, the dark's time is up. Like, they're done. It's just, they're going to go down with the ship because they're so stubborn and ignorant. You know, they're going to fight till the end, but they've already lost. But, I mean, they just don't realize it yet because of the galactic changes that are happening, where we're going as a solar system, you know, into that galactic plane, this high energy, like, this is happening, you know. And so keeping that in mind helps manifest it too, because, you know, we manifest through thought. It takes a while to appear in this third dimension, but that's basically how the higher dimensions work. It's manifestation through thought, you know.
That's something you brought up before, Seth, too, is manifesting the fifth dimension here through consciousness. Not this, you know, rising to it, but manifesting it. We're bringing it through, and I think that's important what you brought up before with that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm starting to see things manifest a lot quicker in my life. Like, if I focus on it and I don't have any scattered thoughts or like, well, what if this or what if that? I just feel the vibration of what it feels like to... for that to happen. It helps pull that timeline into existence, and I'm actually seeing things happen, and it's amazing. You know, we're literally ascending. This is happening. Like, there's this great awakening that is going on. I'm seeing all these people awaken who used to be asleep. Like, I was having amazing contact experiences. I started making YouTube videos. I started telling people about it and doing sky watches and showing people. And I've shown like probably around 100 people in person who came over and meditated and did a skywatch, and ships showed up. And like through my videos, hundreds of more people. And so I left California like a year ago, and a lot of people thought I was nuts. I went back and just visited, and a lot of people who used to think I was crazy are now seeing the ships and looking to me as a teacher. I'm like, what? Like, I see this awakening happening. And, you know, I've been following you for a while, James, and like, you were doing this a long time ago when it was like way more taboo than it is now. Like, you went out on a limb, you know, that's huge, man. That took balls. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, you're my other follower. No, I'm just kidding. No. Everybody goes, yeah, I listened to your show. I go, oh yeah, you're my other listener. You know, but. Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about that. I was just thinking about that the other day. I've been doing this about 30 years intensely and talking about all the different beings and kind of busting the old patriarchal religious program apart, you know, and telling people there's a lot more to God in the universe than we've been told. But, you know, watching this old program shift to where it is now is just amazing. I feel really good about where it's going. I hope it, you know, goes... I hope it goes smoothly. Hang on a second, let me get a little water.
Get some water. Have you had much going on lately, Seth, in terms of contact over there or seeing crafts? Because James has been blown out. Like, we're just on the outside of the city.
Yeah.
And for him to see, we're just getting as much as a ranch sometimes, like 20, 30 crafts a night, and he can't believe what we're getting here. But there's lots of daytime stuff. But we took him out to Mount Buffalo as well, which is where I've been having contact for years. And there's... lots go. Shiji, you know, James is interacting with her as well as we've been interacting with a lot of what James is working with. But there seems to be an uprising in not just sightings, but contact. Have you noticed sort of like an uprise in the last, I guess, month or so than normal?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I see the ships every day, and it's been kind of constant for me. But... It's been high for a while for me. I don't know. I've been pretty busy with work and stuff, so yeah. I haven't really done any skywatches with people. So I haven't really noticed more than normal, but it's definitely happening all the time, every day. Like this morning I woke up, my alarm went off and it was 5:55, and like I sleep right next to the window. And I look out there, and here comes this ship cruising along, and then it like slows down, changes direction, and here comes this other one and stops, and they're just like, "Hey, good morning."
It's just a
normal thing.
Yeah, we had some. It was amazing when I first landed here. I think it was the first night we came out here. We looked up, and we had a couple big power ups and a lot of ships flying. I go, "Wow, this is like in the city," you know, this. Usually don't, it's hard to see, you know, in the city, just because usually of all the, I mean, there is a lot of light interference here and things like that, but we're still seeing ships. But we went to Uluru and Hatajuta, and a huge ship came flying right over, a big golden ship right over the town, and I don't know how many other ships we saw there. We got some of the townspeople to join us in the Skywatch, and what's funny is that they love it. They all got really excited, but one guy came out to where we were watching this big giant ship, gold ship comes in and flies right over us, over the town, you know, And he kind of just goes, yeah, whatever, and walks away. Just like, I go, oh my God. And I go, that's a perfect example. I almost wish I had that on film.
On film,
you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is what happens when you bring a muggle to a Skywatch, you know, or a skeptic or something. But it was hilarious. But the same thing happened at Mount Buffalo. We had two very low, beautiful golden ships come over. And they almost looked crystalline. The energy was so, the light coming off them was so beautiful. They almost looked crystalline. And there was multiple beings on the ships. It wasn't just one group. There was multiple
sort
beings.
Sort of like a Star Nations base there.
Yeah, there's a base there. It's three levels to it. It's not a real big base. It's only about 900 feet wide. But there's three levels to it, and it opens up on the south side. And they told us that some of them started appearing to me, and they gave me that information. We drove around the south side, and we could see exactly
where they're coming in.
Yeah,
and out.
Where they're coming in and out. But
footage of that.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
I didn't, and I was about to just smash the camera. Oh God! It filled up the whole screen. I'm like, oh, I've got it. And then I realized like something had happened because
It flipped off the record or something.
But it was just for us to see. But I'm like, God, you know, you couldn't argue with that bit of footage. Could you? My nephew pointed it out too. He's about 7, 8 years old. He's like, look at that. And we turn around and
big old ship
coming down low. But you'll get back to the ranch and it'll be just as off tap as ever. There's definitely uproars going on.
Yeah. It's what they're giving me the same information. The next 2 years, there's just going to be phenomenal changes. They said 2 years from now, you're going to look back and go, wow, I can't believe we're here. You know, that things have moved that rapidly and that fast. And I'm feeling really good about the next 2 years, but yeah, we do need to pay attention and step up to the plate, and you know, that might be, sometimes you might have to move out of certain areas because of changes, you know, in the earth. You know, that all this energy that's coming into the earth, she's expanding, she's growing, you know, she's got to release some of that energy, and she's got to shake some of it off, and you know, when earth expands, you're going to have earthquakes and volcanic activity and things like that, so we need to get in touch with the earth. Get our hands and feet on the earth and get grounded so we can listen to her and where she's going, you know, and she'll push us out of an area if there's something really heavy going to happen there. If you're tuned in the earth, either your higher self or the earth itself will actually give you a very strong message. You know, it's time to go. It's time to pull up roots and go somewhere else.
LA is meant to be having a hell of a lot of mini earthquakes at the moment, isn't it? I think we've heard on the news here.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely happening. I'm seeing, you know, I watch like the Dutch Synths channel and everything that's happening. Yeah, there's more activity, more volcanoes going off. And
Yeah.
We're pretty lucky. You were on one tectonic plate in Australia. So we don't get it. We might get earth tremors, but we're on one plate. So we're pretty lucky. But I think I would freak if I was bloody in an earthquake. Like if
you're on an oily. This is like one plate, and they call it the oily plate.
Yeah.
And so it moves. It can move around. So you'll be good. Only thing is, you're probably going to join New Zealand again.
Well, the other thing is, they said if something happens on the east coast, like there will be like tsunami type stuff there.
Yeah.
Because of the way the plates sit, but we're pretty much on one thing. But we have started to get on and off tornadoes here in Australia, and we're not meant to get them. So. You know, we're getting that as well. We're getting a lot of fires, as you're seeing at the moment. And that's pretty serious here, where you didn't realize how serious it was. Shops will pack up and people will go home. But it's all part of the earth changes. And like the original people were saying, the Aboriginals here, was they know about the earth cycles and the fire cycles. And the white man don't listen to that. And, you know, that's how a lot of towns have been wiped out and floods have happened, but there seems to be a pickup in all that as well going on, as you're saying, with what's going on. Yeah.
Well, the solar activity and the moving into that new place in the universe we're going into, that always creates severe weather changes and quick changes too. And so that's every time you see a big CME or a solar flare hit the Earth, you know, you're going to have really erratic weather and crazy weather patterns and increase in tornadoes and hurricanes. And then, you know, not to go on the negative, you've got HAARP and the chemtrails and all the other stuff exacerbating this as well. So their toys are they're creating severe weather changes in you know a global depopulation program as well between the chemtrails and the HARP and the other things. So it's a combination of things that, you know, I think my whole thing is like, forget the chemtrails, the Earth will take care of herself. You know, if there's too much sun hitting the Earth, she throws up more clouds, you know, she lets off a couple of volcanoes, the Earth cools down, she's self-regulating.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've duped people into believing that they have to do chemtrails for global warming or whatever else. And the reptilians have duped all these other people to get involved in these programs, and they're just totally destroying the environment, they're destroying humanity, the health, they're collapsing the immune systems of people with aluminum, barium, and strontium, and all these other AI programs that are just being sprayed up there. It's a very sinister program, and I'm really hoping one day people are gonna rise up and just say enough of this, because those involved in this program have just been duped into thinking they're doing it for some purposeful good, which there is no purposeful good to this program.
Yeah, I don't understand how someone can take a job flying one of those planes spraying everybody, you know? That's, I don't get it.
It's really weird, man. We hardly get that here, and since James has been here, like, we've had chemtrail, like, we even went to Mount Buffalo, and I got in to talk to the locals there, because it's a very small place, the community, and we got more stuff there than we saw in America, like 16 chemtrails and constantly one after the other. And I agree, I don't know how people can sign up for that job. Yeah, we even got some good footage.
Yeah, everybody got sick afterward. We still got some good footage. But not only that, as we had the black helicopters, they're flying over the house here. When we went to Uluru, we had them.
At the conference?
Yeah, at the conference, we had six a day fly over the ranch. And they've been very active as well. So it's funny how you know, and I don't know if what came first, the chicken or an egg. I don't be paranoid, but they seem to be following me, you know. But
we've always
at the
had
same
too,
time,
yeah.
Am I going to those places because that's happening? I don't know which is which, but definitely the black helicopters show that they have an extreme interest in the work we're doing.
Yeah. Have you had much stuff like that, Seth, at all, or weird government stuff or anything like that going on?
Yeah, I've seen black helicopters, and you know, once I started making YouTube videos and actually going public with this stuff, I was hit hard by archons and dark stuff, and then I realized, oh wow, this is real. And it took me a while to understand how to protect myself and understand their games, but it's all it's done is strengthen me.
Yeah,
because now I see what they're about, you know? And like that's another thing I'd like to say, like, yeah, the dark exists, but don't let it lower your frequency. To everyone who's listening, like, yes, understand the situation of this planet, but keep raising your frequency. Understand what's happening here. There is a war going on in the fourth dimension, in the third and fourth dimension. You know, in the higher dimensions, five and up, it's unity. And it's the dark doesn't exist. Like, this duality only exists in three and four.
Yeah,
and our true self is oneness, and it's aligned, and it's light. And so, yeah, definitely speak out about it. You know, inform people and try to make change. But don't let, like, it used to just drive me crazy, everything that was happening here. And now I kind of raised my frequency and transcend above that. I don't really get attacked anymore. And when I feel something come in, it can't really mess with me anymore because of my frequency. So that's what I was going back to when they said, you're hands and feet, just keep raising your frequency, because you kind of transcend above that whole fourth dimensional game.
Shows that you're on the right path as well when that's going on. It shows that you're doing what you're meant to, and that these things recognize your soul signature all your life. And that's why they're going to it, because even though it's darkness, it's attracted to the light to put it out, because it can feed off that and manipulate that. But it shows you're on the path to what you're meant to be doing, and that's where, like you, James, geez, how much clearings are you doing? Like,
okay.
And this is where, even with me and Sol, because we're in the public eye more, and like yourself, you've got to do more clearing because you're being attacked more, whether it's people that don't like you and they're seeing the videos. That thought of them not liking you, enough people doing it, it creates a bigger psychic attack that they're not even aware of. And then you've got the archons and reptilians and AI and all this other stuff that I think you're probably doing 100 clearings a day at your ranch, Dorley.
Yeah.
He usually wakes up 2 or 3 times a night doing clearings, and as much as I can, you've got to keep on clearing, and Sol does the same, but it's just one of those things that you've got to make it an exercise of, you know, it gets to be second nature, but.
Yeah, it's like a discipline. It's just, it's automatic, and it's running, the healing techniques are running in my head automatically, and it doesn't matter if I go into any, like, a major supermarket or any major event where there's a lot of people, I'm automatically just clearing.
And I didn't know you did that, and we do the same thing. Yeah. You're walking around shopping centers and malls and that, you just start clearing, and it's a way that you can deal with it, but isn't it?
Like, what's fun to do too is, like, when I start clearing, both Saul and Peter go, "What's going on? My crown's going off the scale," you know, and it's kind of good validation that the energy is working. So it's good to be around people of like mind of a higher frequency, because it does validate, you know, the other work that's going on. And it's even funnier too is when you walk up to the doors and they won't open, you know, because your frequencies, you've been doing the clearings and your frequency at a certain level, you know, and you go in the bathroom and you go to the bathroom and it won't flush because it doesn't recognize you being there. You know, it's kind of hilarious that the equipment actually responds to that.
Is it not through the dimensions? Yeah.
And I have to wait for somebody else to walk up to the door sometimes for that little thing to recognize them, you know, and to get into the door. It's kind of hilarious.
Oh, one thing I did want to ask you guys, so I saw this mothership this one time, and like I drew it down, I jotted it down really quick, and I was thinking about it. So first of all, I walked outside and I see this bright white light, like it caught my eye and moving through the sky. And so I look up and there's like this powered up ship there, and then this giant ship like phases in around it. And so here, I'll show you. Like, the drawing's not that good, but so there's this bright white light in the middle, and then this giant orange ship phases in around it. And I mean, this thing was massive. It must have been miles wide. And then there's this huge energy field in front of it. That's like, this part of it, you couldn't really see the sphere, but this, it was giant, like, energy field.
Was it blue? Thing,
what's that?
Was the energy field blue at all in front of the craft?
Yeah, it was. The ship was orange, and the energy field was kind of a bluish tint. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this thing starts moving through the sky like this, and talks to me telepathically. Anyway, the rest of the ship phases out, but this bright white light in the very middle stays there and keeps going, and then just looks like a normal ship that people would say was a satellite. And then I was thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, so that's the power source, right? That's the center of this torsion field that this thing is operating on. So that's the part that steps through the dimensions first, is this power source of this torsion field, and then the rest of the ship phases through around it. So sometimes when you see this white light moving through the sky that people would just say is a satellite, that's just the power source. There's a giant ship around it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen a lot of that. And the orange light is what they need to operate within this dimension. When they get into the gravitational fields of Earth, you'll see a lot of times they'll have an orange or a pink-orange light, you know, that a lot of the ships use. It depends on their propulsion system, but we see that a lot, you know, and that's what I was told, that was one of the frequencies they have to use just to stay up and, you know, and within the Earth's magnetic fields.
Depends on the craft too. Like some of the stuff I'm getting during the day, like even like the Sirian Line craft that went all over the news here, the daytime stuff, some of that stuff as well is just the beings starting to come through, and they look white or a white light because of the coming into this frequency. It's more like an apparition, but the sun's hitting it and it's made out of light, and it's starting to like be this weird light. But some of them are just beings in their Merkaba. Like Metatron and Frushiji was showing me how you can break down to one electron, and all electrons have a symbiotic relationship throughout all planes and dimensions. So you could break down to one, because it's like a hologram. You know how one part of the hologram contains the whole? So you can pop out in another plane in anywhere, any plane or dimension, and re-manifest from all the electrons there as well. And then they'll be like this living light.
Yeah.
But it depends, again, on the type of civilization. I was sort of getting Orion and Sirian stuff. Maybe it was like a Federation-type craft that would have the whole gamut, because what you're describing, I've seen some like that, and they've been like like the Orion, sort of similar to the Orion Council of Light crafts, but then it looks like a city skyscraper line on top of them. Like it's the smooth light underneath and it's very big, like a huge carrier. And why I asked about if there was a blue light in front is because Sol's here actually. Did you want to come on this quickly, Dale? Sol saw something, what you describe, and got photos afterwards of beings on the ground. And it was, you saw that picture that Seth was showing there?
Yeah.
Do you want to describe what you saw?
Yeah, so I saw, it was a big blue ball of light with a white crescent moon, and it seemed like some kind of propulsion system. So when I saw it, it was down low, not high at all, probably, I don't know, maybe like a few hundred meters or something, like above a tree line. So it was quite low, big. And when it took off at warp speed and was really fast. And the whole temperature climate changed from feeling like winter, you know, in Melbourne to all of a sudden feeling like we're in the tropics. Like everything went warm. You could feel the energy vibration around you feeling very high, like resonating. And then I look over towards the bushes and there's like misty columns of light, and it was not like a misty night or anything like that. I could just see it materialize. And then on my old, what was it? Like a Sony
just a
Xperia?
Phone.
Yeah, like a, it was just on a phone. I took some photos. We've got them on the eCityAustralia.org website, and it's just like misty columns of light that appeared. They were really amazing.
We get that stuff walking around here all the time. James said, when we're at James's ranch, it was bloody ballistic. Even these purple orbs coming through, like daytime, like hundreds of them around James's tower. You can see these translucent purple orbs, but I think you're pretty much on the ball with what you're talking about with the propulsion system. I was just trying to outlay, see how some of the other things will operate, you know, other beings. And what did you get with the beings on that particular craft? What did you get any information on who they were or if it was a collective?
That was an Orion ship.
That was, that's funny,
Yeah.
Did you get that as well?
Yeah.
Because James has got awesome photos of these huge friggin' Orion orange like light crafts, like motherships.
They're golden, they're golden, and they look like aircraft carriers. I mean, they're just massive, and they've been coming in. And lately I've been having beings appear to me. I don't know if this has happened with you, but they're wearing suits, and they're wearing these really, look like the Michelin Man suit type thing almost, but they're darker, and they're very thick suits. And this one took her helmet off, and it was a female, and very beautiful, took her helmet off. And there's something going on now where they're coming in now, and they're in these massive ships, and the ships are set up. I think these suits are you know, I hate to say it, but I think they're like geared up for battle. To deal with whatever's left here, and these I think these suits are set up to, so in case they lose, you know, atmosphere in the ships or whatever, you know, if they have some kind of battle, if you're wearing these suits, you'll be totally protected. And I thought it was amazing. So a lot of people will see these suits and freak out, you know, because they're huge, you know, they're very kind of bulky and everything. And when she took her helmet off, it was just a very, very beautiful woman on the inside of it. I thought that was kind of interesting.
You see anything like that, Seth?
I have not seen any beings in suits yet, no. But it's amazing all these experiences that we're all having and a lot of the similarities between them. And so when you see the lion ships, are they gold?
Yeah. Most of them are gold. And the Syrian ships. We get a lot of, we have fifth dimensional felines showing up that look similar to us, but they're cat, you know, humanoid cat beings, and very humanoid, you might say. And then there's a panther type being that's a sixth dimensional one that looks more like about a 12 foot tall panther, and they can be upright or walk on all fours if they want. And the ones I love hanging out the most are the lion beings, that, and they're like 17 foot tall lion beings. And in past ancient India, they call them Nerissa and Narsringa and things like that, and Sekhmet in Egypt. And so there's a long history of these lion beings and their protectors. You know, the Sekhmet, you know, and those beings, they were the protectors of the gods. But when the Anunnaki fell, they just said, hey, we're out of here. You guys are going against universal law. We can't participate in this anymore. And they left. You know, they went back. And so... and that's a whole show in itself. But now they're returning because, you know, we need that protection now as light workers to get things done. So they're they're kind of coming and covering our backs right now, and I'm sure, you know, to me it's like about time, you know, that because I've been getting the shit kicked out of me with some of these things, you know, to be honest with you, and my body's, you know, my body usually regenerates and comes back to normal, but this last affair I've had, you know, has taken its toll, and so I'm glad these lime beans are around to cover, you know, because there's some big challenges, you know, that have come up.
We're gonna have to wrap it up in a sec, but Seth, are you selling crystals and oils or something like that at the moment? I saw that you did a post on these oils, and they're the ones that Soul prefers as well.
Yeah, I'm starting to sell doTERRA oils. I haven't really sold that many, but you know, I've tried a bunch of different essential oils, and doTERRA is the only brand that kind of has that plant consciousness in it. You can feel your vibration raised when you use it. It's almost like nature spirits in a bottle.
So I was saying the same. Well, there'll be a link to your Facebook anyway where people can connect with you and check out more stuff and all that sort of thing. But
need to get it from him now while we're on the air because they might just be listening on it. So what is the best way for people to contact you if they want to find out more about, you know, what you have to offer or, you know, things that are happening in your life?
Well, I do have a YouTube channel. I'm sure that Peter can provide a link. I ended up deleting a lot of my videos back when I was being attacked, so I'm kind of starting over from scratch.
Yep.
Or you can get a hold of me through my Facebook. We can also provide a link through that. And I also do sell crystals and selenite and quartz. It's been encoded by the star people.
That's and awesome.
So, yeah. You know, it's I'm not really charging much. I'm just trying to offer these crystals and oils for people. You know, it helps vibrations. And so I kind of do that on the side. And you know, it's about being in service and just spreading information. And because the waking up process is pretty difficult. You go through a lot of stuff and cellular density release. And if I knew what I knew now, it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Hey, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing some of your experiences. And you know, I'm sure there's a lot more to talk about. We'll have to bring you on again real soon.
Yeah, we'll have to connect again. And thanks, Seth, and we'll wrap it up there, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been awesome to meet you, James. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Great,
and you
yeah.
too.
All right, looking forward to it.
Take it easy, brother. Cheers.
All right, see you.